beautiful day.
Here might be a defining at bat for Rowdy Tellez. Yes, it is to the point the Pirates have been extremely patient with him. This is a moment for him and for this team right now. Infield in. 3-2. And he strikes out.
This is the pride of Pittsburgh to everybody. We don't do that out here. We're a good team. We're winning for a reason. We're going to get our man back on track. But what happened today is, I think, unacceptable. And we as a group in Pittsburgh got to be better. It's an all-star for a reason. And we just have to be better. So.
Pitch. Fly ball center field, hit pretty deep. Buxton is back to the track, approaching the wall.
Beautiful day.
Rowdy Tellez hits his first home run in PNC Park. Gives the Bucks a 1-0 lead. Now they're cheering for Rowdy. And here's the ever-popular Rowdy Tellez to the plate.
Tellez takes it the other way for a base hit. Taylor, a good read and jump. He's coming home. Here's the throw right on the money. Safe. He got in there with a hook slide. Taylor scores on the hit by Tellez. 9-3 Pirate. 3-2 coming. Swing fly ball deep left. Jordan back to the wall. And there it goes. Nice backspin ball hitting the top of the wall and bouncing over. Rowdy Tellez with home run number 3. And the Pirates.
Buckles go all the way. That's it. I'm the only one singing here.
Hey. Day. I didn't know if there was more highlights coming.
Hey. Buckles
go
all
the way.
Hit all now and see the Buckles today.
Here we go, Paul. We mentioned a couple. We mentioned a couple days ago that it felt like the Pirates were at a crossroads. It did. And I'm just amazed, even in baseball with 162 games, or maybe especially in baseball, I don't know, how a little tiny sampling of games can change an entire outlook. Suddenly I'm feeling great about this team. They won a rubber match. They won a series. They've won a couple in a row. They've won 6 of 10. Rowdy's smashing the ball. Brian Reynolds is turning himself into an all-star and an MVP candidate, for God's sakes. I didn't know until last night when Mackey texted me that he leads all NL outfielders in total bases. He leads them. They got injured pitchers coming back. Ortiz has become a good story. Suddenly, the lens on this whole season has changed, and I feel like Rowdy is sort of, I don't know, what, the canary in the coal mine? The Rowdy in the coal mine, he is. That's what he is. He's turned everything around, Paul. He's not a singles hitter. He's a power hitter. And you knew as soon as he said that yesterday, he was going to hit a homer.
I knew it was coming. Now he's going to hit a home run. His third one.
More's coming.
His third one.
So my point is... What is my point, actually? That my lens on this Pirates season has changed. That's what. You and I said crossroads 2 days ago. They went out and won a couple ball games.
Wonderful.
Felt like big ones in Cincy.
Wonderful. I'll withhold my judgment until Sunday.
Well, wait. You said that was a big, big game that they had to win yesterday.
It was. It was great. And they won it. And now you move forward. They're still under 500. Rowdy Tellez still only has 3 home runs. They're still... Not out of the woods.
No, not by any stretch. All I'm saying is I'm feeling a lot better than I did a couple days ago. I truly am, and I have a couple of things on my mind today. First is your well-being. Are you good?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm okay.
You look energized. You look bright, healthy.
I'm trying to be, you know, I have orange on today to try and brighten myself up, yes. But
one of my first favorite teams was the Orange Crush, the Broncos, back in the mid-70s.
Yes.
Randy Gratishar, Tom Jackson, Lyle Alzado, Louis Wright, all those guys. Rob Lytle, Craig Morton, Haven Moses. They were incredible, Folsy, or whatever your name is, back before you were even born.
That's right.
The Orange Crush.
The Orange Crush, and they lost to Dallas in the Super Bowl. So a couple things on my mind here, gentlemen, as we start the show. One is the Pirates hit the halfway mark Friday night in Atlanta against our old friend Charlie Morton. So I posed this question in a column this morning. I'm going to pose it to you two. What is the bar for this team now? They're one game ahead of last year's pace, and it was right at this time last year that the Pirates' season fell apart. They were 38-42, and they lost 12 of 15, and they were done by Steeler training camp. I don't think this team's going to be done by Steeler camp. I think they're going to hang around. But I ask you, what's the bar? I'll suggest any improvement on last year's 76 wins. Will that cause you to say it's a successful season? If they get to 81-500 again, is that a successful season? 82 in a winning season? Or number three, is it playoffs or bust? I say number three. What do you guys say? I say if they don't make the playoffs, Paul, it's a failure of a season. You?
I don't know that I go that far, but if they don't win more than they lose, then I think it's a failure of a season. I think the bar is, well, so what is it, 81-81? Is, so to me, 82, 83 wins minimum is what I would say. If they don't get that, it's definitely a failure.
They have to go at least 500. 85, 86 wins will probably get them into the playoffs. If they don't get to 500, people should be held accountable and potentially lose jobs. I mean, that's the point that we're at.
It feels like this team as comprised right now should be able to have a winning season, or at least 81 wins. I'm expecting, hoping, demanding that they add to this, that they try to make a run. That's the other factor that's happening here, Paul, what we've all talked about. Even Bob Nutting referenced it. He sounded like a fan last week, which I've never heard. He said, we have to take advantage of our top-end pitching.
So that's right.
To me, when you have those three guys in your rotation and you add to your team, I'm going to go ahead and assume that they're going to add a hitter. They have to make the playoffs in a year where the whole National League, outside of the three division leaders and the Braves, so four teams, the whole league stinks outside of that. You have the Cardinals, the Padres, the Mets, and the Diamondbacks. And then the Pirates. The Pirates have the same number of losses as the third wild card team. It's all there for them. A wild card is, if the wild card could spring to life, it would be jumping up and waving to the Pirates. Come, take me, take me. That's what it would do. Can you do that, City Limit?
Come, take me, please.
It's there. Playoff, it's absolutely
please.
There.
Paul, can you enact the little wild card jumping to life? What would it say to the Pirates?
It's exactly that. Come take me. It's there for them
it's
to take.
It's there. It's there for them to take. And if they don't take it this year with all three of these studs healthy and in their primes, maybe even before their primes for a couple of them, then it's a failure to me. Go take it. And if you don't get it, you've failed. You've wasted one precious season with those three guys at the top of your rotation, healthy and presumably at the height of their powers. You just wasted a season. That's why 82 won't be good enough for me.
Right. I get that. I get that. But I think that if they do win more than they lose, then they can make a very strong case that they made the progress that we are all looking for.
I know.
And that, but then the pressure becomes in the offseason. Now you need to get over the top.
I don't want to wait till then. I want now. I want them to make a big move now. I was just talking with Dorn about this, and we've talked about it, Paul.
Right.
That in order to be the team that gets the guy that you want, you have to overpay and do it early. Jim Rutherford was a master at this. Sometimes it didn't work. You know, he went out and got Derek Brassard and gave up a ton of resources, but we all loved it at the time, and at least they went for it. I'll even say that about the Chris Archer deal. Most of us liked it at the time, and at least they went for it. So there's one thing we can't say, that the Pirates have never gone for it at the deadline, when the fact of the matter is, the last time they had a realistic chance at the playoffs at the deadline, they went for it big time, and it was one of the worst trades in baseball history. So let's talk a name or two. I think Pete Alonso's out because the Mets have caught fire here. They're in the fourth position. There are two games, something like that, out of a wild card, game and a half. I don't think he's going to be available. You know who still is available that we've mentioned a million times? You've written about him. I've written about him. Is Vlad Guerrero.
Yes.
Vlad Guerrero is out there. The Blue Jays stink. They're 36-43. he's got 1 year on his deal, and then I believe 1 year arbitration eligible. So this is he's got this year and next year. He's a free agent in 26.
So he's not a straight rental.
Not a straight rental.
Right.
You can make two runs with him.
Right.
Which may, as we've discussed, be the only two runs you ever get with these guys healthy. They're young power arms, which causes major concern about health. That's why Jared Jones isn't even pitching Friday. They're skipping his turn in the rotation. They want to save innings for later in the year. These are the types of things you do with young power arms because you're so paranoid, for good reason, that they're going to get injured. Well, you have Vlad Guerrero to help you this year and next year if you go out and get him. How do you go out and get him? You overpay and do it early. That's how you go out and get him. You have to beat people to the punch. So go out and do it. And if that means, now we talked Henry Davis yesterday, Paul, and I said, not really for Chisholm do I want that and the relief, but this guy?
Yeah.
This guy, I'll drive Henry Davis to Toronto. I'll get him across the border. We can stop and see Bink and Evie, my parents.
That's what I mean. If that's the kind of deal you could make.
Henry Davis, Bubba Chandler, you take your pick.
Go ahead,
both.
What if they give you Henry? What if we say Henry Davis, one of the pitchers, and Rowdy Tellez for Vlad Jr.? Would you do that?
Yeah. Why would they want Tellez, though?
I mean, because you need a first baseman.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, you know what I mean?
I think they would have packed it in. Yeah, maybe. But maybe they want Chandler, Davis, and another good prospect. Okay. Bubba Chandler, let's just look at him. He's an enticing piece when you look at the future. He is. But you know what? You have others. Plus, you have the three horses in your rotation right now locked up for a good long time. Plus, you have the ninth pick in this year's draft. Go pick somebody else who can be Bubba Chandler.
That's got to be a bat.
They have the ninth pick. Well, whatever it is. You know what I mean? They've got resources all over the place. So go out and overpay and beat people to the punch. Do we have this quote from Vlad? Okay, it was in Spanish. He said it, but it was to... this is via Mike Rodriguez of ESPN, Paul.
Right.
This is Guerrero talking. He once said that he would never sign with the Yankees, not even dead. Now he's saying 2 years later, this is a business, he told ESPN, or Virus Deportivo, I believe is the name of the show or website, whatever it is. I sat down and spoke with my dad and my family, Guerrero said, and this is a business. I'm a player, and if a team picks me or if they do something, it's because they need it, obviously. And here's the key quote, and I quote, I'll be happy to help any team. So I don't think you're going to get, pushback from the star. I don't know if that would matter or not. There's a story today out of Houston where one of their beat writers says the Astros are putting together a big package for Guerrero. The Yankees, with the Rizzo injury, said to be interested in Guerrero. Beat him to the punch, man. You have something that others don't, which is young pitching in your farm system where others might not. You have to be willing to do it early and make them an offer they can't refuse. Do you agree, Paul?
Yes.
Talk for
There's
a while.
No question.
Let's hear your feelings.
I mean, you're basically making it too much sense here, but you're not saying it. You're saying exactly what I've been saying for 3 weeks. With all of the analytics and the prospect wonks in town, going on and on about F4 of certain prospects and why we can't give this guy or why we can't give that guy. If you're the Pirates, you have to overpay. You're probably going to have to overpay, period.
That's how you get him.
And that's how you go get a guy like Vlad Guerrero. And to me, we talked about Henry Davis and the deal that was thrown around yesterday. I agree with you that you don't want to just give Henry Davis away. But if it means going out and getting a guy like Vlad Jr., then you obviously are going to, part ways with him and say, sorry, we can't wait for you anymore.
Yeah, I mean.
Maybe the Blue Jays will make you a player, but at the end of the day, we can't wait for you anymore.
I agree, man. It just seems so obvious. And the Pirates and Nutting shouldn't be deterred. Or deterred, as Bill Cowher used to say, by the, traumatic Chris Archer situation. We don't need any PTSD or PST, right, whatever the hell it's called. Forget about that. Good for them. They went for it. It was a horrible trade by Neil Huntington. This reminds me when the Brewers were in position. They had a better record then. They were, I think, a division leader, and they went out and got CC Sabathia. There's no, we're the same market as Milwaukee.
Right.
Literally.
Right.
So you should have the resources. What you need is the willingness. And if we hear that they made him an offer that shouldn't be refused, and Toronto thought they got a better one from Houston or whatever, then I can live with that. But let's go here.
Right.
Let's do it this year. Let's do it now.
But again, it requires to get out of this mindset that we have to try and squeeze every, you know, ounce of player control and pre-arbitration year and cheap labor out of every one of our prospects.
Right. No,
that's the problem that is always going to be to me. And when I hear, who did we have on yesterday? Was it Destiny's Child? Maybe that was 2 days ago. Who said basically he doesn't see them even dealing a top 10 prospect?
Right.
Much less a top 5.
Get out of here with that. He might be right, by the way. I'm not telling right. Destiny's Child to get out of here.
If that's the case, then what are we doing?
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, we have, do we have Gormy the Owl confirmed?
Gormy the Owl at 11.
Gormy the Owl at 11. Kevin Gorman of the Trib. And who else today? City Limits.
We have John Parado at noon.
Ooh, that's perfect.
Wow.
And we're efforting a national baseball person right now who can talk a little trade. Maybe somebody out of Toronto. So here's the deal with Vlad Guerrero. 2021, he cracks 48 home runs. That goes down to 32 and then 26 last year. But he's driven in 94-plus all of those years. He walks a ton, which is great. His on-base percentage is .368 right now. He slugs at .435. His OPS is .803, which isn't star level, but it's getting there. Right. He's hitting .288. He's got 10 homers, 40 RBI. He walks through that door and walks into that dugout. He transforms your lineup because he's Vlad Guerrero.
Right, absolutely. And I'm looking at his numbers. I think that he must have gotten hot a little bit recently, right? Because remember, you know, a few weeks ago, people were like, well, you know, he's not having a great season.
Yeah, he's having a good month.
288, 368, 435, 803 war. I'll take that.
5.11 slugging percentage right now. He's hit 3 home runs in the last 5 games, and he's driven in 10.
Right.
3 home runs and 10 ribbies in the last 5 games. Horsefly, tell us about his advanced stats, City Limits.
Yeah, Vlad Guerrero, hard hit percentage, 99th percentile, 59.1. And that's not all. Average exit velocity.
Yes.
99th percentile.
See, that means something to me. Yeah, all you can do is hit it hard, and after that, you can't really control it in baseball. That dude walks through this door, everything changes. And I know I've used this example before, but I think it's highly appropriate. The Penguins arrived a year early, the Sidney Crosby Penguins. And even their GM, who I loved, Ray Shiro, wasn't ready to say, let's make that move.
Right.
But Ron Burkle and Mario Lemieux were ready. So they ordered him to go out and make the Atlanta Thrashers an offer they couldn't refuse for Marian Hossa. And they did. And the next thing you knew, a Hall of Fame player in his prime was walking into the Penguins dressing room.
Right.
And that sent the message to every single person in that room, to the coach, Mike Therrien at the time, to every fan, to every team in the NHL, that the Penguins have arrived and we mean business and we're chasing a championship from this point on.
Right.
And that's the message you send if you go out and give up whatever the hell it takes to get Vlad Guerrero through that door. That's the message that will resonate in that clubhouse, in this city, and across Major League Baseball if you bring in him or his like. But he seems like a great candidate because he appears to be available. He appears to know that this could happen. He's willing to go anywhere. He set it on the record. And he's a transformative player who you still have control with for another year. You can make another run
right.
with Vlad Guerrero.
Right. And then, you know what? If you make the playoffs even once, but especially twice, but if you make it even once, it's worth it.
I agree.
And my thing is, if you have Vlad Guerrero and you have a guy like Brian Reynolds getting hotter, you got a guy like O'Neill Cruz, and then you've got your pitching staff, you've got a chance.
So the Pirates' top 10 prospects right now, I'm seeing on MLB.com. Termar Johnson, Bubba Chandler, Solomato, Harrington, and the legendary Braxton Ashcraft, who I always like to be very careful when pronouncing the last name. Take two of them and Henry Davis and give me Vlad Guerrero. How do you like that? You'd have people panicking in the streets, these people, the deranged ones, and there's actually a name for it. It's called prospect derangement syndrome. They would literally be in tears and probably protesting with signs outside the Pirates' offices. I'll give you two of those guys and Henry Davis if you give me Vlad Guerrero.
Right.
You?
No question.
Would you?
No question. I mean, we're talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. here. I mean, this isn't just some normal, guy who may or may not help. He's one of the best players he's one of the best players at his position in baseball. So, yes, if you have to, again, I've been saying it for 3 weeks. If you have to overpay, go overpay.
So the Blue Jays.
Here's the depressing thing, Joe.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to.
I kind of have a funny feeling they are. I don't know if it'll be Guerrero, but I think they're going to aggressively pursue this. That nutting soliloquy last week was just so weird that it came out of nowhere that it seems like he may even realize this. So if I told you City Limits over there, he has a touch of prospect derangement syndrome.
I've seen it.
Yeah, he takes medication for this. It's under control, Paul, but I think something like this could cause a flare-up. If I told you Harrington, Chandler, and Davis for Vladimir Guerrero, straight up, two of your top five prospects plus Henry Davis, what would you say?
I'm fine with Harrington. In that deal, I'm good with Chandler. You're going to think I'm nuts. I don't want to give up on Henry Davis right now.
Okay.
I still think that there's a bat there, even if you play him in right field and don't allow him to catch anymore.
Paul's going to get very angry at
if you alter
take,
it here, out.
Here's the situation.
So let me just make sure I hear this correctly.
Yeah.
Go back at him, Limits. Get your arguments ready.
But there's nobody that you would trade Henry Davis for.
At this point, no, because I want to see a bigger sample size.
How about Ohtani?
Yeah, I would trade him for Ohtani. I think anybody would trade Ohtani, Mookie Betts.
Henry Davis. And pick one of the, top pitching, like Sol, whatever his name is, or Bubba Chandler.
Solomon or Harrington.
And then say, like, the 10th, whoever the 10th prospect is. So you're giving three up, Henry Davis, Solomon, and your 10th, is it like Mitch Jeb or somebody like that?
Yeah.
Those three, Vladimir Guerrero right now.
I would do that because you would not have to give up Chandler.
Is Mitch Jeb from West Virginia? He has to be.
Just as a little aside. I don't know where they picked him
from. Yeah, Paul's right here. Or I think he is. Here, if you got rid of Chandler and Harrington, your 2-4 prospects and Davis, guess what you do? You simply move Solomato to your second best prospect and Ashcraft to 3. And then Mitch Jeb at 4. I mean, is the world ending? And then Rodriguez is here to be your long-term catcher. And by the way, you have Vlad Guerrero. I wouldn't blink an eye at it.
Right.
For what other reason do you tank, which is precisely what the Pirates did for 5 years? They had a football player playing in the outfield while they were losing games. Remember Jay Alford? Was that his name?
Anthony Alford?
Anthony Alford, yeah. I don't even know who Jay Alford is. They had football players out there. They had players who used to play baseball playing for them. They had minor leaguers all over the place. They tanked. The reason you tank is that as soon as you get into position to win, you dip into the resources that you acquired while you were tanking. Because then, not only could you make a deal like this, by all rights, you should still be teaming with prospects if you got rid of Chandler and Harrington.
Right.
And Davis.
Because you have to solve the outfield. The outfield is the biggest problem on this team right now.
Bat.
Other than Reynolds, there's no one else.
Right? I mean, just give me a bat.
Well, that it's not just a bat. We're talking about Vlad Guerrero here.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what we're talking about is the bat.
But my point is, it's not like, you know, yesterday we were talking about...
All right, hold on. Look at MLB Central right now. They just put this up in a proposed trade that they're talking about right now. White Sox would trade Luis Robert, Pirates trade Termar Johnson, Anthony Solometo, Quinn Priester, Lonnie White. Would you make that deal?
Oh, boy. All right, take a photo of that so we can go over that. That one I'm not sure about.
Solometo, Termar Johnson, Quinn Priester, and who was the other guy?
Lonnie White, Quinn Priester, Termar Johnson, Anthony Solometo.
Lonnie White is one of these guys that's just almost fictional to me.
Yeah, he's gotten healthy and has drove the ball well, but an average below 200. He's the guy that they convinced to sign with them instead of go to Penn State to play wide receiver.
You know what? Based on my theory, I probably would. Was that just something they were... Who's
Somebody tweeted that at Dan O'Dowd, and they're talking about it on Central right now. It's like a mock trade, hypothetical.
Paul, last year... can you look up years of control for him?
He's got a couple of years left.
Does he?
He's got two team options after this season, after next year.
I mean... The dude slugs 450 this year, 540 last year. He was.
Who are we talking about here?
Luis Robert from the White Sox.
He signed through next year with a 26 and 27 team option.
Ooh. So 38 home runs last year.
All-star.
20 stolen bases, 542 slug, 857 OPS, career 820. Yeah, I probably would. That one gives me a little more pause.
He's hitting 190, though.
I know.
What is up with this guy?
Yeah, he got back from injury. He was hurt early in the season. Okay, he's played 27 games.
Looking at his numbers for the last two or three years, yeah, probably. But I would have to figure out why he's hitting 190 right now.
And he's a center fielder, only 26. He solves that issue.
Why is he hitting only 190 city limits?
He was banged up. He's just gotten back. The average was very, very low at the start of the year. But it just continues to climb at this point where obviously 190 doesn't look appealing. But it was about 150 a couple of weeks ago.
It's actually not climbing. He's been 0 for 4, 1 for 5, 1 for 5, 0 for 3. Well, I guess it is climbing. And 1 for 4, but it's he had it up to 198. Now it's back to 190. But you're saying he was hurt.
He was, yes.
I would be very tempted to do this as well.
I'd be very, very interested.
Again, to me,
when I see Termar Johnson in those All-Star games with that swing, he was a premium pick. Ooh, it would be very painful to give up on him at this point, Paul.
Who?
Termar.
Yeah, I mean.
And Lonnie White is a talented kid. That's another top 10 prospect for the
right,
Pirates.
Right, but where's he at right now?
And Solometo?
Solometo.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's the package for Vlad Guerrero.
Yeah, Vlad Guerrero, I wouldn't even blink.
You get two more years of club control, though, with Robert. Guy that hit 38 last year.
True.
Good point. What a point by City Limits.
And I mean,
Paul,
if you're going to make a deal like that where you give away three at least quality prospects that you believe can help you in the future, you have to get a guy that's signed for 3-4 years.
By the same token, Termar Johnson is in single A, correct?
Yes, I am.
Did he just get promoted or no? I can't.
He's been in high A all
year. Lonnie White is in high A.
High A, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. See ya.
Only explanation you need. They're that far away.
See him. Get him out. Go.
So that somebody else threw out a trade about Vlad Guerrero, where the Cubs would get Vlad Guerrero, Chris Bassett, and Yimi Garcia, and the Blue Jays would get Michael Busch, who's like the best prospect for the Cubs.
Michael Busch, the running back from Louisville.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Not to be confused with Reggie Busch.
He played with Brian Braum, I remember, but that's beside the point. Go ahead.
Matt Straw and a couple others for the Blue Jays, which, I mean, that's not that big of a deal. Like, Michael Busch is a big-time prospect for the Cubs and like a top 25, top 30 type of guy. That kind of seems light compared to what we're talking about Pirates-wise.
Oh, man. See, the thing about Termar, where was he drafted?
Fourth. He was considered like one of the best high school bats to come out and be in the draft in like the last 10 years.
I keep thinking about a couple swings I saw. I know they were meaningless, but they were spring training swings and that left sweet left-handed swing, and he's only 20. I feel like he's going to be a star. But... I in the right deal, would I give him up? Yeah, I'm not positive that this is the right deal with Luis Robert. I'm not positive it would be. That one gives me a lot more pause than Vlad, even though there's more years of control. I'll just say that. I would have to ruminate on that one, Paul.
Yeah. I just think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. really, really would intrigue me. Now, Luis Robert Jr., four, man. Four prospects for him. But again, two of them are single A prospects, which I think I consider them to be fiction. You know, they're single A. I mean,
I would accept one of them's the fourth pick overall.
But what I mean is, when are they going to help you?
And he's only 20.
Three years from now,
maybe sooner. I could see Termar. Can you look up his game logs? How hot he is right now? I could see him in double A by the end of the year easily. Triple A knocking on the door next year. That's my main pause with him. But let's see about Luis Robert. Maybe that deal you could give a couple weeks and see if
Quinn
he starts
Priester,
getting going.
Doesn't he fit into city limits? A view of Henry Davis? Do we want to give up on Quinn Priester?
I like Quinn Priester, but I'm not there at the same point as Henry Davis, especially as a 1-1 guy with the success he's had in the minors hitting.
Yeah, Quinn Priester to me has gone more suspect than prospect.
He's more of a fourth or fifth starter.
He seems to have a Jeff Locke ceiling. You agree with that?
Yeah, and maybe I'm buying into the Kenny Pickett preseason hype on the 5-for-5 drives with Henry Davis and all the home runs that he hit in spring training, but there's clearly a bat there. Termar Johnson hitting .250 in June.
All right.
Four home runs, 10 RBIs.
Four home runs, 10 RBIs in June, .250. How about an OPS?
OPS
seems to be slugging the ball.
Where's that at?
That's okay, city limits.
374 slug.
We've reached the portion of the show where we're looking up things on the internet, on live radio. It's not your fault. It's my fault.
I'm sorry, Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams is out there banging on his computer.
No, I feel like a first base and outfield are the two places that the Pirates. Hey, here's the good news.
Well, wait a second. Do they? I'm just looking at bat. I think Rowdy has starting to. To establish himself as a guy who's crushing the ball.
Okay.
We're not talking about 10 games or even a week.
Run.
Paul, have you seen his month of June? Well, June's almost over. Reynolds didn't have a good first 2 months, and he's crushing the ball in June.
Right. Okay. Well, then I guess you don't need Vladimir Guerrero Jr. then.
You need a bat. If that means moving out to Les, then
that's
fine.
That's what we just said.
You mean you need an elite bat. You can't fit them both in.
You can put a first baseman in, and you can put a right fielder in, and I think this team is ready. That's just me. So, in looking at that deal for Luis Robert Jr. and the deal for Vladimir Guerrero, they don't the seven players going out. You know, I mean, none of them are involved in both deals. So make both deals. How about that? What do you think about that?
Make both deals. Oh, my God. All right, let's get on board here, especially for those of you who may be afflicted with prospect derangement syndrome, PDS, it's called. We put two hypothetical deals on the table, two of your top five prospects plus Henry Davis for Vlad Guerrero, or the deal we just saw them discussing on MLB Network, hypothetical, which was Solomato, Termar Johnson, Quinn Priester, and Lonnie White Jr. for Luis Robert. I mean, are you willing to offer what it takes to make a big deal? Because the Pirates aren't the only team looking for a big hitter. Like, half the league is. All the teams they're competing against are. So you better get used to the idea that you don't just dream these things up and they happen. You've got to outbid teams. You've got to overpay to clinch a deal. Are you willing to do that with these precious prospects? 412-928-9.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
93.70. Something unbelievable has transpired here. Just yesterday, Paul and I were discussing our vending machine anger.
Yes.
Paul relaying a story that he once shook down the vending machine here. He was so angry, and that quarter started popping out like he had won something at the casino. So we're back. We took a little walk to the vending machine during this break that has just occurred. And we see a guy who introduced himself, Paul, as John the Vending Machine guy. And he's your schoolmate. You both went to Penn Trafford. They were separated by 2 years, city limits. John the Vending Machine guy. He heard the rant.
And he came to fix it.
He seemed mildly offended that we rage against the vending, rage against the machine,
rage
you might say.
Rage against the vending machine.
Paul, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, really, very interesting. And, of course, he was able to explain some of the issues with these new vending machines.
You were very curious.
Of course I was, because I get about once a week, I get into a fight with a vending machine. So, of course I was.
He was a very kind man. He told
he's a good
us,
dude. Yeah, of course.
Paul didn't have the worst violent rage against the vending machine. John, the vending machine guy, told us about a visit to a halfway house recently. City limits, where somebody threatened, if that machine doesn't work next time I go there again, I'm kicking it in. The next time John the vending machine went to that halfway house, the entire glass was kicked in. It was kicked in. There was no more glass.
I wonder, did that mean that did the guy like take it all?
Yeah, at that point, does it become a free-for-all, and have you committed a crime, city limits? Like, if you walk down there later tonight, let's say 9 o'clock, there's three people in the office, and somebody earlier, maybe Paul, had kicked the glass in, are you allowed to reach in without leaving money and just take what you want?
I think so. I'm not the one that committed the crime. I mean, the vending machine has been broken, and now it's just a free-for-all at this point.
Paul, do you agree with that, or is it a crime? Are you stealing?
I'd say it's probably a crime from the standpoint of you're stealing, and I guess vandalism, but it's not.
Well, somebody vandalized it first.
I'd be paranoid that I would get implicated.
I would be very paranoid.
Like, it's not like it's a crime. I don't think it's like a federal crime type thing. If you break into a mailbox or something.
You're right. I think
if you steal someone's mail, it's a felony.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that's where we're at with vending machines.
Here's another social etiquette question while we're on the topic. Right over here, there's a men's room, not 20 feet from here, really. Maybe 50. So I was having problems before the show. I asked for an extra 3 minutes at the beginning. Do you remember City Limits?
I do.
Somebody was in there. There was one other person when I went in there, and I held the blowout out of courtesy. You know how blown saves or a hold, they have the numbers for that. This was a blowout held, a BH. I held it out of courtesy. He left, and then I blew out. A couple weeks ago, a man who shall remain unnamed from the newsroom here, I was the only guy in the bathroom. I was at the urinal. He comes walking in at about 1:30 and blows out like game one of the 86 finals. There's squeaks happening. There's everything happening. Paul, do you hold? Do you have a hold there where you let the person leave and then you blow out? Is that proper social etiquette?
I guess, but if you got to blow out, you got to blow out. There's not much you can do about it.
That is proper social etiquette.
It is proper social etiquette, but
Yeah, I understand if you're having an emergency.
Right.
But anything less than an emergency, you hold, right?
Or you at least try to hold.
Try to hold. Well, what do you think of this guy in the newsroom? Not only not holding, but basically disintegrating in there.
Maybe he was emergency.
He was jetting. It didn't sound like one. He didn't seem fretting when he walked in. He was very relaxed. And then he went Jeff Daniels and Dumb and Dumber on me. And then you can never look at that person the same. Can you, Limits?
This might take a while.
Yeah, suddenly they're in a different light, aren't they?
Thankfully, it was you, not me.
So every time I see him and I walk past him in the newsroom now, it's different. Do you understand?
I'm curious who it might be.
Well, I'm just saying.
But I don't want to know.
I'm just saying.
Because then you'll look at him different, right?
Possibly, yes.
Paul, do you want to know who it was?
No, I probably don't.
All right.
But my point is, how do you know he wasn't... I mean, I
in
guess,
an emergency.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's
because of the way he comported himself walking in. There was no urgency there. I know that look. You had it 2 days ago.
Yeah. Well, oh, I was so sick. Yeah.
You
I
were
was...
melting down like Kyle Nicklaus against the Cubs. Remember that one? You were
Josh Fleming against the Cubs.
Or Hunter Green the other night against the Pirates. That was Paul.
Yeah, he threw up on himself, didn't he?
This guy from the newsroom walked in there very slowly, casually. He was probably reading.
Was he whistling?
But there was no care or politeness there. Etiquette. All of that. It was a disregard for my humanity, I felt. Do you understand that?
I guess why you would feel that way. Disregard for your humanity?
Yes. The guy came in and blew apart.
A disregard
right
for
in front
humanity.
Of me.
Sometimes, you know, maybe there was no other option in his mind. There was no choice. That is what had to happen at that specific time.
All right. All right. I'll accept that. I'm telling you, though, it's going to take a long time before our relationship is mended, before I can see him the way I used to.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Let's go to the calls. We have Vladimir Guerrero talk. I mean, in a nutshell here, the Pirates are just about at the halfway point. They have a gigantic opportunity. If you're going to go out and get a guy,
right,
you're going to have to overpay and get him early. Vlad Guerrero says that he, if some team wants him, he understands it's a business. Let's go, is what I hear him saying. Let's go. So do something.
Right.
I want to yell that at the top of my lungs, and then we're talking
about... But the problem is we still got, four or five weeks till the trade deadline.
I know, but that's another way you can beat people to the punch here. People who suffer from prospect derangement syndrome, you tell them you're going to part with, you know, Solomato and Chandler, or one of these other guys and Chandler, or Termar Johnson and Lonnie Smith and Solomato for Luis Robert. That was the trade they were just discussing hypothetically on MLB Network. You know, these people will pass out, you know, or commit some sort of violent act because the Pirates have dared dip into their prospect pool for three prospects, not three, you know?
Right.
So that's all on the table here at 412-928-9370. Perhaps Paul and I can help you with your prospect derangement syndrome. Perhaps it would be helpful to talk about it. Limits, let's go.
Here's Michael and Robinson.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Good. So I think the best way for Charrington to get the best deal is to make a move sooner rather than later. So, because if he makes one later, then he's got to see, you know, how all the other GMs make out.
All right, Michael, so two top five prospects and Henry Davis for Vladimir Guerrero. Are you in or out?
For Vlad Guerrero, you said he has one more year of control? Right?
Yeah, this year and next, and then he's a free agent in 26.
No, because personally, my two untouchables are Davis. I'm siding with City Limits on that one, and then Solomato. Solomato's untouchable for me because...
Michael, may I interject here? Paul, I need your help.
Of course.
I think that Michael here may be suffering from prospect derangement syndrome. Hold on, Michael. This is now a, what do you do? What's it called when you confront somebody about an issue, an intervention? So you need to listen for a moment. Paul, we need to tend to this man. He's suffering from prospect derangement syndrome. He just called Solomato and Davis, quote, untouchable. Talk to him, Paul.
I wouldn't say untouchable.
Michael.
Well,
you're
if you're not going
to
trade
doctors,
if you're not going to trade them for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they pretty much are untouchable. Because, you know, as Joe said, there's not a deal for Otani coming down the pike anytime soon. So,
right, of course.
So, you know, Vlad Jr. is a superstar basically in the league. That's what you have your prospects for. I mean, I don't understand. What do you know about Solomato?
I know a good bit. I know he's not doing well in AA at the moment, but so no one's untouchable, right? But
there we go.
That's
a healthy sentence.
To give up because just because he's a 6'5 lefty and he's still super young and he's done well so far up until this year. So that's my main thing with Salamedo compared to like Chandler and, you know, Harrington or Barco. And then for Davis, just being the 1-1 and, you know, back to city limits point of not being like consistent and having all these bumps in the road.
No, I hear you, man. You know, it can be difficult. Tamar Johnson is one for me. I'm not, you know, enamored with the idea of getting rid of him, but they just tanked. They just tanked for 5 years. Theoretically, they should have all kinds of guys. So all right, you wake up tomorrow, Michael. Where are you calling from?
Robinson.
Michael wakes up in Robinson tomorrow, and the Pirates no longer have Solomato or Henry Davis or Ashcraft. You're gonna survive, Michael. And guess what you get to do if this were ever to happen? You'd get to go to the ballpark, let's say, you know, in 2 weeks on a Friday night against Eagles and watch Paul Skeens pitch and Vladimir Blanken Guerrero hit third for the Pirates. Would you really be thinking on your way to the ballpark, God, I miss Anthony Solomato? Come on.
I wouldn't. No, I would not. Absolutely. It's more so for the fact that, like, they could get away with a deal that, like, we send lesser.
No, they could. See, that's the point, Michael. They can't. Because everybody wants Vladimir Guerrero. Everybody needs a hitter. Paul, go ahead.
Because, well, that was the other thing that they've been talking about. There's only about four teams that are going to be able to deal, or are going to be dealing team, you know, players, four or five teams.
Michael, you have to overpay to get the deal done.
This year, you're going to have to overpay.
And I have great compassion for you, Michael.
Rockies,
and if you need a personal visit, Paul and I do house calls at
some
Rockies,
point. The Rockies, you know, the Marlins. Toronto, there's
Yankees,
about five, six teams. There's about
Astros.
There's about five or six teams that are sellers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The Marlins, the Rockies, Toronto, you know, there are not many places where you're going to go get players. So, as a result, everybody, that's going to be, it makes it a seller's market, which means you got to overpay a little bit.
I have great compassion for Michael, Paul. It can be painful to observe somebody in the throes of prospect derangement syndrome, and we just did that. it was instructive, was
There's
it not?
So many, like I said yesterday, I had guys going on and on about the F war of certain, you know, Mitch Jeb, his F war or whatever.
Mitch Jeb.
I'm like, what are we talking about here?
Do you think we left him in a good place?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think I'm in a little bit of prospect derangement syndrome as well. Like I'm not as much as I used to be, like when I was younger. But, man, I just think
Well, you've medicated for it, yes?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I think that
see
helps.
I see the trade that the Pirates made for Gerrit Cole and got, like, literally nothing back. Realistically, I mean, they got Joe Musgrove, and then they parlayed that for David Bednar and a couple others. But, I mean, maybe that's an outlier in terms of what was actually dealt because it was quantity over quality.
Yeah.
But you got to give something good up to get something good.
Especially this year.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Coming up, Gormy the Owl. Kevin Gorman from the Trib covers the Pirates. Man, there's a lot to talk about. Jared Jones getting skipped in the rotation. Great Rowdy Tellez story from last night about the little kid that he befriended when he was with the Blue Jays. What's this kid's name? Xander? Is that his first name?
Yes, Xander.
I mean, this is an awesome story. Let's talk about that with Kevin Gorman coming up.